Hello everyone, I am Mirta Hurtado Rivas. No VIPs or rock stars, just simple people sharing their life stories to trigger discussions around important topics, or simply to inspire us to embrace challenges ourselves. Welcome to Leaderching. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Leaderching. My guest is Dimon Aber, Executive Director of International Clients and Business Development at Abu Ghazaleh. Hello, Dima. How are you?
Hi, Mirta. I'm very good. How about yourself?
Yes, can't complain too much. You know, these days it's difficult to be really well, but on the other hand, you know, trying to cope with the situation. So maybe just to get started, I would like to share with our audience that Dima is located in Jordan. So this is the first time that Leaderching goes to the Middle East, and I'm very happy that Dima is the first one from the Middle East to be part of this podcast. It's a part of the world that I'm very fond of because they share a lot of the same cultural, I would say, aspects that we Latin Americans share. So very warm people, welcoming, also always, you know, good humor. You love food, which is one of my passions too. So I think I'm very interesting to hear about your views, you know, coming from that part of the world that might just shed some different light onto the things we normally discuss here.
Yeah, thank you, Mirta. Thank you for having me. And I totally agree with you. During these difficult times, the only thing that you just count your blessings and try to look at it from a different perspective, I would say. And yeah, coming from Jordan and sharing about cultures, we definitely share the culture of expressing love through food. So yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Excellent. So let's just start. I would like to know what you dreamed of becoming when you were a child. What was kind of your aspiration? What did you want to become when you were an adult?
Well, I wouldn't say a strange fact about my childhood, but I'm sure that you know that I am part of triplets in Jordan.
Yes.
And we were the first triplets actually to be born in Jordan. So we kind of becoming, I wouldn't say celebrities, but in such a small country where everybody, when we were first born, we were like put on the newspapers and there was a press conference because it was the first triplets in such a country. So I wouldn't say like I had normal childhood as much as like we got lots of attention, like whenever we are in a place, because you know you spent your childhood with your sisters and with the family, so the whole thing was I would say a different childhood in terms of attention and grabbing attention from the public and stuff. So yeah, and that actually affects me in a way that we all share different dreams, but at the same time mutual dreams as well with my sisters. So one of my dreams was actually this was lawyer was far away from my from my dreams. I have to be honest. I'm very into fashion and music. So I saw myself in either a fashion industry or music industry. But if there is a question as well, if I have to choose other industry as well now apart from being a lawyer, I would choose tourism as well because. I love Jordan and I love meeting new people. I'm kind of a person that's I'm a people person. So I would love to see the good part or to show the good part of the Middle East to the international world. So yeah, that was actually my my dream and would still be my dream to work in the tourism industry.
Excellent. So you mentioned music and fashion. Was there anything in your surrounding, you mentioned your sisters, you mentioned your family, was there anything in your surrounding that pointed to that? Did you have any, you know, examples within your family in fashion or music, or was it just like, you know, something that you just thought of as a kid?
No, actually my father used to have his own music store in beside our house. And he used to be a professional photographer as well, like a collector of cameras. And he used to be a very into art. So yeah, so and my mom actually used to love music a lot as well. So we lived in this atmosphere where the music is always in the house, and yeah, so it's actually part of my growing up, like listening to music and the art, seeing my father collecting the cameras. And now one of my twin, one of the triplets actually is a professional photographer.
Yes.
So yeah, I would say the art is in the family.
Excellent. Yes. And your sister has wonderful pictures. It's amazing. I've seen some of them thanks to following you on Instagram and so it's
that's amazing.
It's
I'm glad that you
really amazing.
Saw the pictures. Yeah, she's talented.
Excellent. So now you've mentioned yourself, you're a lawyer today.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you come from kind of dream as a child of being in the fashion and music industry or being attracted to that to becoming a lawyer? What happened in between?
Okay, and that explains that my mother is a lawyer. She used to be a general practice lawyer. So as soon as I finished school, I didn't, like any other, I would say, teenager at that age, when you finish school, you don't know what to do. And it's like the idea of this culture is like you don't want to spend 4 years in studying music where you can, or fashion where you can always like have it as a hobby. So when I graduated from school, I had this doubt, like, what should I do? What career should I pick? And my mother actually advised me, it's like, how about you do law? And it would be like a basic background for, and then you can do whatever you want. So that's why I picked law. It's like, I would say I would like to be like my mother as a lawyer and pick it as a basic background and then realize what I'm going to do in the future. So that's how I picked the law.
Excellent. So it's really an inspiration coming from your family again, which is nice. And I think it happens quite often, right? That we look around us and whatever we see that someone else is doing that we feel the person is happy with, it will be an inspiration and it will kind of trigger something in us.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
So then, so you studied law. How did you end up picking up IP or this area? How did you end up, you know, being part of this bigger family?
Yeah, when I first joined the university, I assigned for business administration. And when I spent the first semester, I thought that I also don't want to spend 40 years studying business while I can gain it as an experience. So my mother, I remembered my mother's advice when it's like, how about you study law? So I was actually walking by myself in the university and I passed through the faculty of law. And then I saw, it's like, you know what, let me just go and see what's the program and ask about these, like how studying law was. And on the spot, I just transferred my study from business administration to law. And
wow.
I loved it. I was the I became really successful at the university and had an honor degree in because I study it with passion, you know. So, and then when I finished university, I was the first one from my sisters to finish university. And I stayed at home for like a couple of months. Don't know what to do. Should I do the bar exam or should I do a master's degree? And then realize like what kind of law do I want to practice? And actually, it's a funny story and it's related to the culture we have in the Middle East. Like my mother saw me like sitting at home doing nothing. And her office, her law office was beside Abu Ghazali Intellectual Property in Jordan. It's a, you know, it's a big organization and it's very famous here to say it's like I work at Abu Ghazali. Everybody knows Abu Ghazali Intellectual Property. So she sent someone at her office like bring me a job application from Abu Ghazali, and she brought me home the application saying, okay, fill this application out. I was like, okay, fine, I'll fill it out so I can see what was going on. Because my friend, we were graduated together. She said, I don't want to do masters. I don't want to do anything. I just want to apply for a job. And I was like, no, I want to do masters and I want to decide like what I'm going to do. But you know what? I just follow her leads and we filled the application together. they called me, and actually they didn't call her back. They called myself, because my university was one of the few universities in Jordan to teach intellectual property courses. So, you know, at the beginning of the university, I didn't know what to put in my resume. So I put a couple of courses that I took at the university, and intellectual property was one of them. So I applied here at Abu Ghazali 15 years ago, and here I am after 15 years ago talking to you and being an expert in IP.
Excellent, quite. Yeah, sometimes coincidences, right? And a little nudge from someone will just pave your way forward.
Definitely.
So you have been with Abu Ghazali for 15 years now, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that during your 15 years, you have experienced different type of leaders, you know, different types, so types as persons, but also styles as how they work. What is it for you that makes a good leader?
First of all, I would say reading a lot would help, because being at a young age, and they put me in a leadership position actually at a young age, and that was a challenge for me in terms like you become very excited to make a change and do the change very quickly, and you want to prove yourself. So I would say not reading a lot, but in terms of patience, like I don't want to go to my boss and propose the problem without even having the full knowledge about it. So for me, was after 15 years, I would say patience to do not rush things that you want to climb the ladder very quickly, just step by step, by reading a lot, by being a good listener as well. And most importantly is to help your colleagues and give more than you want to take. I hope I'm clear in my advices regarding this.
No, sure. So what you're saying is that, you know, it's important also to learn things, right? It's to build Absolutely. Up the knowledge, right? Not to jump from one thing to the other and skip some steps, because we are so eager when we are young sometimes, right? We want to do and we want to embrace everything and get to where we assume we want to go very quickly.
Yeah, you said it even better than me, Mirta. Yeah, it's just like open to learn. It's like, because you have to put yourself in the shoes that you don't know anything and you want to learn new stuff. So learning new stuff is really exciting. So and that would make you climb the ladder step by step, rather than that you just want to climb it with little information. Because once you have more information, you climb it, I would say, slowly, but with more maturity, I would say.
Yeah, those are very good points. Mm. So when you think about what type of bosses you have had, so how they have managed you, what do you think are some of the characteristics that you believe are really important to have as a boss, as a manager? What do you think they should kind of display when they work with their team members, with their associates?
Well, to be honest, this is kind of, for us even here in the Middle East, kind of a sensitive thing, because being a successful woman is kind of intimidating, but not to your bosses, actually, to your colleagues. So, and to be honest, sometimes I have difficulties dealing with women more and having the support from women more than men themselves. So, and on the other hand, that doesn't mean that I didn't actually face difficulties with my men colleagues. But being a single woman in a male-dominant society and being successful and ambitious, I would say it's a challenging thing. So, but honestly, I have to give the credit to my bosses, because for them, they didn't mind whether the employee is a man or a woman, as long as the job is done. So I actually appreciate that in them. It's like they appreciated the capabilities that everybody has, whether they're a man or a woman. And they just gave me the trust. So my bosses is actually, they provide challenges And at the same time, they provide solutions after getting the challenge. So basically, it's just to kind of motivate to challenge. That's exactly what they had, and they saw in me that I'm up to this challenge. But it's they motivated me by providing me challenges and tap me on the back when I got the challenge correctly, or as well provide me with advices when I didn't do well with the challenge.
It seems like what you're saying, and I really like the fact that you are also sharing the fact that things might not be the same in Jordan or in the Middle East in general than in other regions. What I like about what you say is, so a good leader is probably someone who just doesn't look at specific characteristics of the person, like gender or whatever else, religion, color, or so on, but rather is looking as to who is the best person to fulfill a specific role independently of what their background is, as long as the expertise is there to fulfill the task. And then something else that you said that also rings a bell is, say, providing a challenge, right? Because, and I think that's something that's, and you said the other thing as well, for me, like challenge and motivation come together, because it's when you actually see that you have something in front of you, that it's not easy to be done, but actually requires some effort from your side. That's actually very often what will trigger our dynamics and our energy to go for it. It's because we're like, okay, this is bigger than me, but I might be able to do it, right? And it just creates this little push for us to go forward and reach for more.
Exactly. And
probably that wouldn't happen if the bosses you had, or if my case was similar, if they wouldn't have given challenges, you would have stayed at a certain level.
Absolutely. And that brings us back to the fact that be patient in learning and be open to learning and take the challenge quietly and don't be eager to finish it quickly as much as finish it in terms of quality-wise, not timely-wise.
I think one other key word that, and we have discussed this with other guests as well on this podcast, is really trust. You mentioned trust. And I think that's something also that, and I think probably a lot of our people listening will know, trust is sometimes, you know, it will take a lot of time to establish because you have to demonstrate, right, really that trust exists. And particularly between associate and manager, it's not always that comes easily. It may take some time, but it's also kind of a value that gets very easily disrupted, right?
So you may make years,
and then you may lose it like on a blink of an eye.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's also bring us to the principle of the person. It's like one mistake, and that's actually a good adjective of the boss, when one mistake does not define you, and it depends on the type of the mistake, but it's also a good leader would appreciate that one mistake does not define you and does not break the trust. So that's what a good leader is.
Excellent. I really like those three elements. You touched upon one of my favorite topics, that is actually gender and diversity, right? You touched upon the fact that in the Middle East, it might be sometimes not very easy, not particularly with your bosses, as you mentioned, but especially with women, right? So, and this is something that we don't hear only from the Middle East. We hear this also from other parts of the world. That sometimes women stand in the way of other women, and that they're not particularly helpful in, you know, getting, you know, the colleague or the peer to the next level. How does it, you know, how was it for you, or what is it you can share in that respect? Why do you think this happens at all?
Sure. But Mirta, like after 15 years of I wouldn't say it's struggle, but I would consider it as a challenge, because at the same time, I had colleagues who supported me. But on the other hand, I had colleagues who's like, you just got lucky by by having like an executive director position, because you just talk what you want and talk what you feel and you just want to make a change. But now I could feel, because I just had my comments or my advices to them, like, you should do more, you should write about what you're doing, and you should speak what you feel, and do this and do that. And you could feel that the difference has taken place actually in such an environment. So I actually feel proud, like, after all these years. I would say 15 years ago it was a challenge, but now after 15 years I would say, like, I'm actually made a difference, or it made a difference.
Excellent. Excellent. I think it's as you say, I think it's not only for Jordan, but in many companies or law firms, what happens is that you create like a little country, right? Like a little estate within your same life. So you have like things are reflected that you have in the normal outside world will be reflected also in your working environment, that you have different cultures, you have hierarchies, you have political influences, and all of that plays a role. And depending on as to how people will see you, they will put you in a box sometimes and just made up their minds and say, this is Dima, this is Mirta, this is who they are, and that's why they're like this and this. And actually very often people don't know, or they don't see what you have done to get to a specific place, or to be successful, or also, as you said, that you were going through a challenge for several years until what you say that you see in the eyes of your colleagues now is respect, right? They respect you for the knowledge that you have. And I believe that's not a small challenge. It's something that you described quite well. It wasn't solved in a couple of months. It took years. And that also reflects, I think, one of the other things that we often have with respect to this gender discussion is we are a bit frustrated because things take so long.
Yes.
Right? Change is so slow. And very often that's what frustrates us when we are the type of women we are. We would like things to be now, okay, this is settled. Mm. This is clear. You know, we now know women are equal to men and there is no difference to be made. But still, as we can see from you were saying, and many others said in this podcast as well, there is still room for talking about it, making sure that people just, you know, as you explained, your bosses were assessing you with respect to your work and not with respect to who you
were. Yeah, and I put that on the woman as well, Mirta. It's like when you say like women are equal to men, it's like, men, maybe they are appreciating that now due to our capabilities, but I would say my concerns sometimes are about the women themselves, that they don't trust themselves to have the capabilities to do the same responsibilities as the men do.
Yeah, and I think that's a super important message for all of those women that are now coming up. It's like, yeah, you know, take a leap of faith, believe in yourself, and don't wait for others to be pushing you, but just go for it. And there's, you know, the worst thing that can happen is that you don't succeed immediately, that you just need to try a couple of more times, and that's okay, right?
Yeah, I always say failure is a lesson, is even better lesson than success.
Yeah. That's what a lot of people say. It's like you learn more from your mistakes than from your successes, because once you have gone through like a difficult thing, then you will not forget how it felt.
Definitely.
Why?
Yeah. I was actually also coming through saying that says like you don't learn from your lessons, or you don't regret anything until you know what these things are. And when you know what these things are, it's too late to go back to do it again. So yeah, it's better to learn from your mistakes, definitely better than your success stories.
Excellent, thank you. So I think we've covered a lot of what I was interested in hearing, but as you are my first guest from the Middle East, I just wanted to take a little bit of time to kind of, maybe you can share with us, what do you think is difficult for people that go to the Middle East to do business, or the other way around, for Middle Easterners to go out from there to do business in other parts? What is it you think that makes it different Is there something that you would say this is what people should be aware of? And I'm not talking about religion or so, because I think that's kind of a different topic, but just from for you said now, being successful and so on, when you went out, did you kind of face the same challenges elsewhere, or did you had to learn a lot by doing national
Oh,
work?
definitely, I've learned a lot. Well, I would tell you what I learned first. Maybe it would be from my lessons. The listeners would realize what kind of things to consider when they come and do business in the Middle East. I have to be very honest and transparent with you, Mirta. Like, coming from a third world country, and at the beginning of my career, I had kind of lack of confidence in terms of that, because coming from a Middle East countries and traveling to Europe and to the States and the developed countries, for me, I had kind of a lack of confidence dealing with Europeans and Americans, because I thought, like, English is not my first language. Maybe I didn't have the education that we see in the newspapers and the TVs, and it's like I didn't get the proper education because I just went to a local university. But then year after year, I realized it's like humans are humans everywhere. It's like it's not. This is what I actually learned from my traveling, because the educated is educated anywhere. It's about yourself. It's about your self-development. It's about your work. Mother is a mother. A colleague is a colleague. A father is a father. A husband and a husband is. It's a worldwide. It's not only in Jordan, or not only in Switzerland or the States. So humans are humans everywhere. So and that's one of the things that I would say. Yeah, we are third world countries when it comes to the Middle East, but at the same time, we are humans here. And I have to say, like, Jordan, as a Jordan, we have this is one of the most educated countries in the Middle East as well. So people, they have the potential, they have the education, but maybe they don't have the chance, being in a third world country, to explore and expose their potentials, whether here or outside the world. But I would say, like, one of the tips, like, we're emotional people. So when it comes, even when it comes to business, so this is a thing that maybe international people should consider, that maybe if you just say a nice word or a nice phrase with any of the business people, you just get the deal. You know what I mean?
Yes.
This is actually my tips for that.
Yeah. I think there is a very important message that you're sharing here, because it's really about the fact that many of us come from countries that kind of are looked at being at a lower level, right? I experienced the same as you. So I'm an immigrant, right? My parents come from Peru. So I always had this feeling like, oh, I didn't learn the same stuff. I don't, this is not my mother tongue, or, I'm doing something that doesn't belong to my kind of level. You have the aspirations, but then still you have this kind of little voice in your back that says, well,
Exactly,
do you
exactly.
really care? Are you really doing the right thing? And you're always kind of very critical of yourself. And I think your message is a very good one, in the sense of, don't forget that the people that you're facing are just
Are
people,
also people, exactly.
and that they just struggle the same as you, and that they may have also, if not the same story, but similar stories with respect to other things, because every human has kind of doubts and fears. So I think it's a really good thing, not only for Jordan, but just in general for us when we do business, when we are confronted with new situations. Think back that actually the counterpart you're facing is also just a person, and they come with their share of things as much as you do. And
Exactly.
the other thing is that really rings a bell to me too. It's like people, sometimes in some countries doing business is always extremely formal, right? And they need to get it done, like, point one, two, three, and this is the result, and this is the time, and we want this outcome, and if we're not successful. And I think, traveling to the Middle East, but probably also to Latin America, or to Sub-Saharan Africa, whatever, if people could place some emotions into what they do and some kindness in appreciation of what they're seeing, that others, you know, how they're being welcomed, because very often actually international people will be welcomed for all of this. We look up to those countries to
Absolutely.
some extent, right?
Absolutely.
So I think if they could, yeah, place one or two words of kindness in between, I'm sure that that will things would go
Yeah, I
better.
really like how you rephrase my because you get me. So you're rephrasing it in a actually better way, Mirta. Thank you very much.
Well, you're giving me the idea. So, you know, this is collaboration at its best.
Thank you.
We're coming to our last question of this conversation. And my question is, if you would go back to when you were 20, what advice would you give yourself? So if you could go, right? Imaginary, right? You go back and talk to yourself when you were in your 20s. What would you tell yourself?
I would tell myself to be more confident as a woman, and again, patience. I would be more patient in success and learning my lessons. And last but not least, for sure, I would say have more fun. Don't take things more
Yay.
seriously. Yeah, like okay, success is nice and being serious at work is nice, but definitely have more fun. And because not to reach to your 30s or 40s or whatever and say, oh, I missed this or I'm doing this too late. It's too late for me. So seize the moment.
Well, I couldn't, you know, there's nothing for me to add here because I think this is an excellent closing. I like every bit of what you say,
Thank you,
and I
Mirta.
think, you know, for our listeners, it's certainly good advice as well. So, Dima, thanks once more for being my guest today. It's really been a pleasure, as usual, when I meet you. We don't meet as often as I
I
wish,
know.
but we always have like very good talks and like also a lot
I
of
know.
fun.
The
So
pleasure was
that's
all mine, Mirta, and I'm so flattered actually to be the first Middle Eastern woman to be on your podcast. So thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome. Talk to you
Talk to you
soon.
soon.
Take care.
Bye.
I hope you liked this episode of Leadaching in English. Don't forget to give us a thumbs up on your respective platform and subscribe to our podcast. See you soon.